Hey, greetings, everybody. It is Brother Tupos with my wife and my partner and my helper in my IT department.
And your nurse.
And my Titus 2 lady. And did I miss
your
anything?
Your navigator.
My friend. My navigator.
Your chef.
Yeah. Sister Amen. You get a lot of titles, Sister Amen.
Yeah, it's all to the glory of God.
Amen. We are coming to you for our edification audio. We travel today. We hope you're doing well. We traveled across some beautiful Missouri countryside.
Oh, you know what? That road can be like kind of curvy and hilly and stuff, but I think it's a very pretty one. I enjoy going on it.
It was beautiful. The day started out really nice and calm, hit the road, and we headed across, not a long drive, but we're working our way down south, and we cut through some Missouri countryside, and did we have some witnessing today, Sister Amen?
Well, there was witnessing in the morning before we left.
There was.
I witnessed to a woman walking
talk
in
about
the door.
That. That's right.
And the brothers Ellis and Sister Carr, they were witnessing in there as well. So, witnessing in the store, witness walking.
Yeah, we always witness in stores and gas stations, and we just live our lives as we go across the country.
Right, yeah, but so that was pretty awesome.
Then I had to go and get a new generator, trade my old generator in because it was about due. Got a new generator. And I got delayed in the store, and because I got delayed in the store...
This is perfect.
Yeah, a man that Brother Zellos gave a gospel card to said, I'm working, I can't talk. He said, I'm outside, come on outside. The guy came outside, sought him out, and when I walked out there, he was talking to this young guy about 24 years old for about a half an hour. And this guy was a seeker, definitely a seeker. And we encouraged him, we told him we got young brothers that live in the area here in Central Missouri, and we're really hoping to hear from him because he really seemed like he had a heart for God.
Oh, I'll tell you what. We've seen a lot of people, witness to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something really moving in him. It made me think. I was thinking about this. People that get that close and they're right there on the edge.
Yeah.
It's like they got to be willing to drop everything. And I came across this verse, Luke 5:28. I just happened to come across it tonight when I was looking for a different verse. It's a real simple one, but it says a lot. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. This is about Levi when Jesus called him. And I was just thinking about that young man. Will he leave it all? Because Brother Zellos witnessed to him. And then as he was doing that, somebody pulled up in a truck, and he went to witness. And Brother Tupos was witnessing to the man. And another man pulled up, so Brother Tupos went to witness to him. And then I was kind of finishing up with that young man.
Yep.
And, yeah, I shared with him, you know, how you got to count the cost and leave all for the Lord, and I told him that we have two brothers who have done that, and so hopefully he's encouraged by that. But I was just thinking about how many people count the cost, and many of them don't weigh it to the side of the Lord.
Oh yeah.
And hopefully he does.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, they count the cost of what they have to lose, and then but then they don't count the cost of what they're going to lose if they don't give it all up.
Oh, you can't take anything with you, so
it was pretty amazing. That young guy was standing there, then another house church guy drove up. Brother Zellos was talking to him, and a modern Mennonite pastor pulled up, and I got to talk to him, ended up giving him a loving rebuke. I'm actually going to be putting a testing up of him. Cornelius Schrock was his name, from Lebanon, Missouri, and he laughed about the things of God and didn't like that I was calling out the Anabaptist faith. They're very prideful and arrogant, and I just called him out in love and rebuked him. And you'll see the video when I put it up.
Yeah.
It's pretty telling about that particular faith, the Anabaptist faith. I don't know what's worse, the people that run out of their Mennonite church buildings to flee and note and talk to you, or modern pastors that will sit and talk to you but laugh about God's word and sin. I think they're in bigger trouble. They should keep their mouths shut.
Yeah, definitely.
They should just keep driving and not even laugh about the things of God and mock the preacher. So, but yeah, it was awesome. Lots and lots of witnessing went on there.
Yeah, and after that, Sister and I went into the store to see if we could give out some gospel cards and check out the clearance section. And we gave a few gospel cards out, and I got to witness to a woman in the line at the checkout talking about the gospel.
So gospel kept going out all over.
Yeah, I kept asking her about it, you know, to have her share more and more with me, and then I was able to give her some more before she had to go check out. So that was awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when we traveled down the road, we went to a discount grocery store, Dent and Bent.
Yep, you and Sister got to witness to a lady, a Calvinist lady.
Yeah, Sister Cara tried to offer her a gospel card, and she was claiming that she was of Christ, and then I walked down to share some more and found out that, She thinks you can't lose your salvation and can't turn away and that your works don't have anything to do with it. And so we tried to correct her, but she wanted nothing to do with it. So
yeah.
But
it's all good.
The truth went out. It will do what it does.
God's glorified.
We're talking about that on the, I read the verse Isaiah 55:11, how God's word is going to do what it does.
You did a sister's audio call today?
Yeah, we did. We talked about, we each shared some scriptures and talked about them a little bit. It was nice and edifying.
The audio is linked on the edification page and at your sister's page.
Uh-huh. And then I did a post today, a little bit about our day, kind of talked about the witnessing that we did here and or that we just talked about, and snapped some pictures throughout the day that I put some captions on so you can kind of get a glimpse of what we did in between. And
yeah.
I want to try to keep up on that once in a while. So.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. It's kind of like a diary of our travels, and it encourages us. And we know other people are watching. It encourages other people.
Uh-huh.
So that's pretty awesome. What else, Sister Almond, do you have today to share?
I have a scripture verse.
You got a scripture verse? What's your scripture verse about?
Well, it would be about the gospel.
About the gospel. I like that. Well, before you get to that, I was talking to a brother on the phone. We kind of had a brother's call. We were just going over some housekeeping things. And a young brother said, I realized I'm sharing life with other believers. Talk about that, Sister Amin.
Sharing life with other believers.
It hit him. Yeah. He has a roommate who's a Christian, a brother, and they work at the same company together. Then he has brothers that he edifies online, and he hit him. He said he's lost his whole entire old life, and now he's living life, sharing it with Christians, and that just, like, hit him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you could be, like, so used to living your life, whether you're married or not. You know, when you're married, you're kind of already doing it. It's kind of expected.
Right.
And then if you're not, you know, even so, you're both kind of going through life, just living it. But when it comes to brothers and sisters, it's a little bit of a different dynamics to it, but yet there's so many more similarities to it, like he was mentioning, you know, because you love the Lord, you have one mind, one focus on it, and you're going to be doing basically all about the same things, generally, and sharing life. It's pretty amazing to be able to walk through the world and share it with other people who see the way you do, spiritually, and understand, and have ears to hear, as opposed to having to deal with the world who is blind and deaf to the spiritual things of God. So it's kind of a refreshing type thing.
Yeah, he's a newer believer, and some things just hit him sometimes, and he knew it, but then it just kind of, well, I guess it's what they call like an epiphany. Things hit you and you just go, whoa, I'm sharing life with other believers. And it's pretty meaningful, and it kind of took him back as he lost his old worldly life and all of his family and friends and everything, and now he has believers in Christ that he's even closer to.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty meaningful.
Reminds me of the scripture verse where Jesus said, those who have lost houses, mother, brethren, sisters will get a hundredfold and everlasting life.
Yeah. So that was awesome. And then another brother did teaching audio, and that's up at the edification, up at the Ecclesia gathering, along with your sister audios. He did one called Eternal Employment. And basically, he makes the mocking fun, mocking against once saved, always saved, like as if you got hired from a job and nothing you could do to ever lose your job. Like, show up late, don't do your job, get in all kinds of trouble, and you can't lose your employment. And it's what they say about salvation. You could sin all you want, and it doesn't matter, you're not going to lose your salvation. It's an absolutely ridiculous one. So the brothers and I always joke about, well, wait, when are you going to find that job where it's eternal employment? And so he decided to do a study on it, so that's up, and you can go listen to that, where he basically just exposes once saved, always saved. Jobs, marriages, citizenship, everything has to be maintained. You have to endure in it. You have to obey the rules and the laws. Otherwise, you're going to lose it all.
Right. Yeah, I was just thinking about once employed, always employed.
That's what we call it.
You know, it's kind of a strange situation, because when you talk to people about eternal security, like we did that woman today in the store there, you know, they think you haven't done anything to gain it. You're not going to have to do anything to lose it. But yet, if you talk to them about employment, you know...
Or marriage.
And hear what they say is, if anybody in the spiritual realm, if they're talking about that, you know, as a so-called believer, and they say, Well, if they turn away, they were never one of us. So I guess if you're employed, if you do a really bad job, you were never employed.
You were never an employee.
Yeah.
And I guess that means as a Christian, you can't really sin then. Because if you sin and turn away, you were never really a Christian.
Pretty much,
so
yeah,
Christians don't sin.
It's so twisted.
Christians don't sin according to them.
Sense. Yeah.
Because if you sin, you never were a Christian.
That's confusing, isn't it?
That's absolute
confusion.
Who's
the confusion. Father of that?
Yeah, Satan.
Yeah, it isn't God,
so
that's for sure.
That was a good study that he did. And then child training. This has kind of come up. This young couple we're traveling with have two small children, and they've really been working hard. And it's amazing how small children can be trained to be at the beckon of their father and mother's will if you're consistent with them and use good godly principles. That's pretty awesome to see that. And to see obedient small children at an age of like 3 and 1.5 years, that's pretty awesome. That'll stand patiently while people talk, that will yield to their father and mother. That's really the goal, because you want to break their will so one day you are kind of, in a sense, like their God authority. One day you want to hand them off to God when they understand the gospel, and you want them not to have flesh and rebellion. You want them to be ready to submit to God. So they got to submit to you before they're going to submit to God.
They'll be learning how to kill their flesh when they're young, so that way they're good at it, hopefully, when they get older.
Yeah, one brother said his parents never taught him anything about discipline and killing his flesh, and it took him a long time to kill his flesh to come to the Lord. So if you do it when they're little, it's a big, big advantage.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so this couple are doing really great that are traveling with us, so that's really awesome.
Praise God.
And then last point I had was I'm doing a teaching on King's Dainties. What do you think of, Sister Amma, when I say King's Dainties? Quick.
Well, it's food.
Yeah.
That's what everybody thinks it's all
about. Everybody thinks it's all about food, but if you think about the King's Dainties, it's like the soft life, the spoiled life, the overindulgent life. Think about all the things like an American culture that we could call that about.
Full of bread like Sodom and Gomorrah, King's dainties all over this
country. I was thinking, like, people, you know, will not travel if they can't get a shower every day or a regular toilet or they can't have air conditioning, things like that. And that limits people from how they're going to serve God, because I ask people all the time, did Jesus and Paul have a shower and air conditioning and a flush toilet? What do you think, Sister Amma? How about John the Baptist? He have a flush toilet and a shower out in the desert? Air conditioning? No. So I'm going to do an article on King's Dainties, and I'm going to expand it a little bit from just what the scriptures say about raiment, soft clothing, and food. And we're going to cover a lot more things on that. So
I was just thinking about Jesus, how sharp he was to them. He's like, what'd you think you were going to see? Somebody walking around with soft raiment, like referring to John the Baptist.
Yeah,
I'll kind of being sarcastic.
I'll probably
hinge
it off of that. Soft raiment and King's Dainties.
Yeah.
I think of like going and eating at a King's thing where he didn't have one kind of meat. He probably has 27 kinds of meat and, you know.
Yeah, it says don't be desirous of it, meaning lusting after or living for.
Yeah. So I'll have that teaching coming up. Also,
that'd be good.
Also, should be ready to start my Revelations verse by verse study coming up soon. So that's going to be kind of a big thing that I'm trying to take on. So lots going on, and we're going to be traveling more tomorrow.
Might be heading into another state.
Heading into another state tomorrow, and then watching the weather. We got some weather coming up that we want to be careful not to travel in some rain, and then working our way eventually south and then eventually east. So, yeah, it's all good as the Lord wills. Witnessing as we go.
Tons of it.
Looking for events as we go, looking for sign flying places. So pretty exciting to be out here. This couple that's with us, they're pretty excited about God's been using us all right off the bat. They're pretty excited about that, and I'm thankful for that. They're seeing the purpose and the reason. This young man keeps saying, all these people I'm meeting and witnessing to, I never would have met them if I didn't go into van life and go preaching.
It's eternal.
Yeah, it has an eternal consequence, so we're thankful for it. What is your scripture verse today, Sister Amma?
I have Colossians 4:3.
Ooh.
With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And I was thinking about that, opening a door of utterance. To encourage sisters, we don't just wait for God to, I know it's to give us the words and stuff also, but we don't want to wait for God to open up all the doors.
Yeah, basically wait for him to do everything.
Yeah, we gotta press, get going, go through. And yeah, there are times that maybe situations that you can't witness to somebody, but you pray and say, I really want to witness to that person. For some reason, you can't get the opportunity, and God can line it up if it's meant to be. But we still got to press through on all that. But
amen. Definitely.
We do wait upon the Lord and pray for him to help us and do that.
Be spirit-led in all those things.
Right.
Yeah. My scripture verse is from Titus 2, 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior. Hey, the Savior is the God. Uh-huh. Amazing, isn't that? Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Yeah, we're supposed to rebuke. Rebuke means correction. That modern pastor today got a correction. I hope he never forgets. Hope he repents to the saving of his soul.
Right.
And we had to give a couple of people some correction today on things that they believe, because we love them, we care for their soul. So the Bible tells us to rebuke and correct and exhort. It's all about redemption. Hopefully, if you're in sin and somebody shows you that sin, hopefully you want to repent and leave it to the saving of your soul. If not, it's on you, and that person's hands are clean.
Right.
Yeah. So that's just something I wanted to share about rebuking, and I love that. Our great God and our Savior, who gave himself for us. I always talk about that. People always say, oh, God's a child abuser. He sent his son. He gave himself to us.
I don't know how they can miss that.
Christ was God. He sent himself. He didn't send some innocent guy that didn't have anything to do with this. He sent and came himself to redeem us. What a glorious Savior we have.
Right.
Yeah. I guess we're going to leave it right there. Best place to leave it, talking about the glorious Savior.
Amen.
And we're going to be preaching him more. And I'm looking forward to the future. Exciting being traveling with this young couple. And exciting seeing our young brothers and sisters grow up in the Lord. And who knows what tomorrow's going to bring, Sister Amin.
Amen. Let's see if he gives it to
us. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Last word. What say you?
Love to all the saints. I know I say it all the time, but I mean it. Fervent love.
Yeah.
And hope you're striving on. Keep your eyes set on the kingdom of God. And don't let anything get between you and him.
Yeah. And we don't just say it. We do it. James says, be a doer of the word. You know, we run into these people that say they love you, but they don't do anything. They have no fruit of love.
Yeah, they're going to be in big trouble because we're going to give an account for every empty vain word.
Yeah, Jesus said that will be the sign for the world that we love each other. So we want to make sure that our love has both word and action and deed to it.
Amen.
Yeah. Hope you're seeking the love of God and the love of your neighbor and your brother. And we do love you all. Let us know how we can help you. Check out don'tperish.com. Check out all the resources. Go check. Oh, a nice travel video today.
Yeah.
And the sisters' audios and lots more to come in the days ahead, Lord willing.
Right.
Love y'all.
May God be praised.